Well, it's great to be back with you for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's featured guest, Gerald Celente from the Trends Research Institute. Welcome back, Gerald Celente.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Let's start with the trend forecast. You know, investors ride smooth now, but worldwide sharp curves could be ahead. I think that really encapsulates it right there. Tell us more. What are we looking for?
Well, you know, look what's going on now. Current events form future trends. Just look what happened, you know, within days, the United States launched a massive missile strike against Syria. Then it drops the mother of all bombs on Afghanistan. And now we're hearing about global concern of nuclear war with North Korea. And then the administration has also just increased new military operations in Somalia and throughout Africa. So it's global. Current events form future trends. Listen to all the talk coming out of Israel, coming from our defense secretary, our secretary of state, and our president warning us about Iran. And Israel saying that Iran threatens them with the ballistic missiles and warns of reprisals. And then take a look what's going on in South Africa, Venezuela, massive demonstrations against the ruling leaders, and they're escalating. And then look at the elections, the constitutional referendum they just voted for in Turkey, and there's concerns of a dictatorial rule. Then you have the Brexit worries. Across the Eurozone, you have demonstrations that have been going on in Romania. It doesn't make the news. The war in Yemen increasing. Ukraine war tinderbox is lighting up again. And then again, current events form future trends. The United States has talked South Korea into putting that THAAD missile system in, and now they're installing it. What's China doing? China's saying, no, this isn't against North Korea, it's against us. And what we're going to do to you, South Korea, although you sell more of your products to us than any place else in the world, and you have a lot of businesses going on over there, now we're going to restrict trade. So these are just some of the things going on. They're warning that Trump, you know, he just put on those tariffs now against lumber coming in from Canada into the United States, that there's a, quote, sort of protectionism that hangs over the world on trade.
You first give us an idea on interest rates as well as gold, and then move on to equity markets. So let's start off with U.S. equities. I mean, obviously, we've had the remarkable post-election rally, and you're convinced, as are many of us, that this may have gotten a bit long in the tooth, but, you know, the economy might just grow solidly enough to sustain market prices and at least some type of recovery.
Well, we believe, as you said, many people are saying that there has to be a pullback at some point. Nothing goes straight up. And what it hinges upon Trump's great rally is based on expectations of lower taxes, which they're now talking about, less regulation, which they're doing, and massive infrastructure development and job creation. So let's talk about the massive infrastructure development and job creation. It's not that massive. It's $1 trillion over 10 years. Obama put one in, it was $861 billion. It's a $4 trillion, you know, budget. You know, $100 billion a year is not big dough. So that's not going to make much of a difference. The expectations for lower taxes, will it help corporations? Yes, but how will it help the people? Because that's the other issue. You know, while we see consumer confidence right now in the United States is at a decade high, consumers aren't putting their money where their mouth is. So now, does that mean that this tax break is not going to help consumers? Because you look at the stats. In March, restaurant same sales were down over 1%, and traffic dropped about 3.5% year to year. So those are the realities. Look at retail sales. Now, it's not only online sales that are going down. They're driven down in large part by declining auto sales. And that's sparking fears of an auto subprime loan meltdown. And we've long forecast, by the way. It's not going to be like the housing crisis meltdown, but it will have an impact. And you're seeing it already. Spending on vehicles and parts has fallen for three straight months, and that's the longest streak of decline since the panic of 08. You saw retail sales spike about over 5%. This year they're down 0.1%. So it goes back again. You know, will the Trump rally it may be good for Wall Street, but is it going to help Main Street? And so those are some of the issues that need to be looked at. Then, again, Trump is backtracking. Again, for better or for worse, it's just what is. You remember he came out as campaign when he was campaigning for the White House. Then recently, Case came out in favor of low interest rates. So now, from it being a 60% futures bet that interest rates would go up, now that's fallen down to 36%. And of course, that's good for gold. If interest rates don't go up, then gold prices stay higher. And gold has been able to withstand the recent rally as well, the 400-point increase in the Dow since the elections went favorable for the centrist candidate. Our forecast, and we've been saying this now for a number of years, is that gold has to go strongly, and you hit the number over 1,400. You don't have to see 1,440, 1,480, 1,450, 1,490, 1,430, 1,460, you know, 1,440, 1,470. It has to play in that range. And when it breaks over that strongly and stays in there, then we see a spike toward 2,000. And the downside risk, we only see about $100 to $150. Because, you know, you're looking at, that's what it costs to get out of the ground, you know. And what also went over some of the global issues. The reason why Bitcoin, for example, one of the great reasons why prices are rising is people are fearful of currency devaluations. That's another backtrack on Trump, by the way. He said that China was purposely manipulating its currency. They spent over $1 trillion going into their reserves trying to pump it up over the year and a half. And they're putting all these restrictions on currency outflows to stop them from happening. So people are buying Bitcoin and gold. And that's what you're looking at. As you well know, and the listeners, there's the physical market and there's the gambling market. The gambling market's very different than the physical market. And now in India as well, you're seeing gold purchases go up. So what I'm saying is, you know, the world is bigger than the United States at 320 million. In a population of about, what, 7.2 billion? So you're going to start looking at strong physical demand as prices go lower. And you're also going to see more foreign banks, central banks buy it up as the prices go lower. So we only see a downside risk of about $100 to $150 and an upside potential of $2,000 when it strongly breaks over.
That's exactly what we see. The bottom in place, we've had the nadir, but it's certainly something we want in our portfolios. Let's shift gears over to another great topic in this latest Trends Journal, the Winter 2017 Trends Journal. And, of course, we have money madness. How big is the legal marijuana trend? Think 1933, the end of Prohibition. But the health benefits are just stacking up here. And, you know, ironically, this is still a Schedule I substance, so researchers have a very difficult time finding any financing to do any really solid research in the area.
What you're looking at worldwide is more and more research coming out, the medical benefits of marijuana. I mean, really, if the planet could feed us, could it heal us? All the research is there, and where the leading research is coming, by the way, is out of Israel and Spain. Just, you know, in April, early April, early this month, we saw Canada legalize. And so that's where you're seeing it changing. It's changing all over the world, except in the USA. And you have a guy like Jerk Sessions, who calls himself Jeff Sessions, saying that this is almost, marijuana is almost as bad as heroin. What kind of bullshit?
I just am fascinated by this whole war. You sink your teeth into this. What you find is the places that we really have to focus on, as you say, heroin, crack, cocaine, and of course methamphetamines. These are the danger points that really destroy lives. There is zero evidence that cannabis destroys lives. In fact, we're finding substantial evidence to the contrary. And, you know, this is little known to the public, but the U.S. government actually funded a study, and it's still funded today, where folks with very specific medical needs received 3 joints a day, every day for decades. And guess what the end result was? Perfect health, no symptoms of the underlying disease, and zero pharmaceuticals. And the worst side effect was I was too happy.
Well, again, you know, there's more to it. You just saw recently in USA Today, you know, the headline story, marijuana may be a miracle treatment for children with autism. That's USA Today. They have all of these pensions that they can't meet, and it's the bottom line. So you're going to see more and more states legalizing it. Just like when I was a kid, I remember they used to run the numbers, and it used to be, if you guessed the last three numbers of the attendance at Aqueduct Raceway, you won the numbers. And the vegetable man used to sell them. The guy used to come around in a truck. Oh, and they break them, you know. They're selling. The people that can afford it the least are gambling on this. Oh, sure, it's only a quarter or a dollar a day, but they can't afford it. And they, you know, they made a big deal out of it. They break. But then it became lotto, and you had to be in it to win it. And then, so they got the revenue from it. Now it's, you know, Mega Millions and Mega this and Mega that. So it has nothing to do with the morality of the issue. It has to do, is it going to bring in money? And states and cities need money. So we're going, look at Colorado. All of a sudden, Colorado legalizes it, and they're bringing in more money in tax revenue on pot than they are on booze. That's phenomenal. Same thing is happening in the state of Washington. So it's only what we're looking at now, or as we said, this is the early stages of when they did away with prohibition in the 1930s. All states didn't go right away to alcohol, and some of them had different laws. That's what you're going to see now.
We're on board with you, and we're going to shift gears one more time. This is the only Asian country that I can find where marijuana is essentially legal, North Korea. And we've all seen the headlines. We have major fleet en route, if it's in the general vicinity, aircraft carrier fleet. Plus, we read of 150,000 troops pulling on the Russian and China border line. Are we looking for some type of strategic takedown of Kim Jong-un? Are they concerned by this? All these missile launches? It's about doubled since his predecessor.
Country. And I've been hearing about North Korea most of my life. And we have to worry about them. Because after all, look what Afghanistan, a 16-year war on the Taliban that Jimmy Carter created to overthrow the Russians. But people forget that. And if they didn't like that, then they had the Mujahideen that they created that brought people like bin Laden to get the Russians out of Afghanistan because of the radical Taliban that was trying to overthrow it that the Americans put in there and now they're getting rid of. And we're still there for 16 years. Oh, no, that was North Korea that did that. Oh, and North Korea, look what they did to Gaddafi. You know, he had to go too because, you know, he wasn't a good humanitarian. And then, of course, there's also Syria. So look what North Korea's done there. And now, of course, they brought troops into Somalia. But, of course, that's only the United States that's killed millions of people in these unjust wars and in foreign entanglements we should not be involved in. So here we're talking about North Korea, a tiny little country. Didn't the United States just do an ICBM launch? How many missiles does every other country test? The reason why North Korea has missiles and why they have nuclear weapons is because they learned, and they've said this, from Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein, who gave up their nuclear program and then were overthrown. So they don't want the same thing to happen. And then if you read the news, rather than the prostitute news of the United States, with all the little flunkies that repeat the government lines, read what China's saying. China's saying, please, United States and South Korea, stop doing these massive military maneuvers and drills and firing all of these weapons off the coast of North Korea. Oh, no, we have every right to do it. Oh, you do? How about if North Korea, China, Russia, and Iran did massive military maneuvers off the Gulf of Mexico, off San Diego, and Newport News in Virginia? This is, it's more the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower, five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, and two-terms president warned us about.
I read this article this week. The article essentially just vilified the North Korean people. I mean, I just thought, what propaganda is this? These people are starving. They're hardworking. They're family-oriented. They're growing food. They grow food, Gerald, in every container that they can find in the dumpster. If you go to North Korea, Pyongyang, all you find is everyone has a garden. You have a tiny little apartment. Every wall is lined with anything that can grow. These are survivors. They remind me of the rugged American work ethic that we saw 100 years ago. But we're going to receive judgment if we don't stop attacking these helpless people. I'm getting off my soapbox. Any parting thoughts for our listeners today? Any other hot spots you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Oh, I think we've covered it pretty well. And of course, there's Russia. You know, the United States is increasing its military budget by, what, $54 billion. We're spending over $600 billion already. You know what Russia's total military budget is? $48 billion. That's smaller than what we're raising it. But all of this anti-Russian propaganda we're getting every day as well. And it's not only here, it's throughout the world, throughout the Western world. They're blaming Russians for hacking into the French elections. They're blaming Russians for Brexit. I'm not making this up. And of course, they blamed them for hacking into the DNC without any evidence being shown. And it's the same thing with the attack in against Syria, when blaming them for using sarin gas, which they denied. And there's also MIT Professor Postol, who's done an extensive research on this, showing that it was not the Syrian government, and they had no interest in doing it because the Russians and the Syrians would be becoming very successful in getting rid of the so-called moderate rebels. And we all know what the moderate rebels look like. We've seen pictures of them. We know their names, and we know them by heart. You know, of course we don't. And what we're doing is the United States is supporting these radical groups. So anyway, when we're looking at the facts, what they're doing is they're taking us to war.
Are you drawing any parallels with your war thesis and the 100 senators called to the White House to discuss North Korea?
Yes, we are. And again, we're hearing more and more from Israel warning us about Iran. And so we see the United States and Israel ganging up against Iran. They're calling Iran the biggest sponsor of world terrorism. They're not. Oh, they support Hezbollah. Yeah, they support Hezbollah because they're Lebanese, and Israel occupied parts of Lebanon for a long time, and they're fighting back. You know, so to say that, I mean, the United States is clearly what we've done in Syria, what we've done in Libya by supporting these so-called moderate rebels, they've turned Libya into, that used to be the most, it was the richest country and the prosperous nation in Africa. And by the way, the reason I think we invaded Libya is the same reason we invaded Iraq.
Any other information you'd like to leave with them today?
You know, it's only $99 a year. Again, when we have a discount request page. It's more than just the Trends Journal. We do Trends in the News broadcast each weekday night. We have Trend Alerts that go out weekly and the Trends Monthly. And it's the only place where you're actually going to read history before it happens. And it's advertising free.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.